Welcome back to Dad Space. I have a awesome guest on today. Now, okay, when you have dinner with your kids, is it like full-on war to get your kids to eat their supper? To eat their lunch? Come on! Just eat the vegetable! Right?
Yeah.
You're not leaving this table until you finish your spinach. Okay. My guest today is Samantha, and Samantha has a podcast called the Food Explorers Podcast. And you know what she does? She helps parents navigate dinner time, and she helps us understand why maybe our kids aren't eating the way we want them to. Right here on Dad Space, pull up to the plate. Here we go. Podcast is for you. Here's Samantha. So here's the trailer for Samantha Goldman's podcast, the Food Explorers Podcast. Here's a little snippet to get you interested. Maybe a sample? Yeah, here it is.
As a parent, I know you dream of your child having a happy and healthy relationship with food. But I also know how exhausting and confusing it can be when your child just won't eat. In my background as an occupational and feeding therapist, I've helped hundreds of families, both in and out of the hospital, bring the magic back into mealtime and development. And I want to help you do that too. In this podcast, I give you the full scoop on the tools and tips you need to start helping your child confidently explore new foods while having fun. Please be advised that this is not medical or therapy advice and is just for general and informational knowledge. Let's get to the show.
Okay, everyone, welcome to Dad Space. It's this podcast for dads by dads. And today I have a guest with me, and Samantha Goldman's with me. And we're going to be talking about all things to do with food. Now, Samantha is the host of the Food Explorers podcast. And I believe, and I think you believe with me as well, Samantha, that food should bring us together and not start a war around our kitchen table, correct?
Correct. I believe that 100%.
Right. Awesome. Welcome to the podcast. Nice to have you here. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Awesome. So tell us about your podcast. Let's talk about that right off the bat. When did the podcast start? Tell me a little bit more about the show.
Yeah. So the podcast, like you said, it's called the Food Explorer Podcast. It started back in January. So it's pretty new. And right now, it is me and sometimes my husband coming in to talk about food exploring, how to make mealtime fun, and especially, I specialize in sensory processing. So how do we do this in a way that supports the sensory system?
Okay, let's unpack that a little bit more. Define that for me and help me to understand for my two-year-old that's looking at me with the bowl on top of their head and no food in their stomach. Tell me, how does this podcast going to help me as a parent?
So my first thing is that I want it to help you connect with your child. I want it to help you understand what is going on at the table from your child's standpoint. So it's really easy as parents to look at this and go, oh, just take a bite. Just eat the food. And what we forget, though, is there's a reason that they're not doing it. There's something going on. There's something that they're showing us as to why they are not ready. So what I really hope in the podcast is I break down a lot of research. I break down a lot of what's happening. Of course, there could be a million reasons kids don't eat, but I break down some of the common ones. And again, my specialty is a sensory processing. So I really focus on the sensory system. So not our five senses, our eight senses, and how those affect the table.
Okay, so I know the five. What are the other three? What am I missing here?
Yeah, so it's wild when I tell people we have eight senses, because what we learn in school is that we have those five, you know, the seeing, the hearing, the touch, but we also have three internal senses. So the ones we learn in school, those are our external senses. That comes from outside of our body. We also have three internal ones. That is going to be our proprioceptive sense, which is our body awareness. So when I close my eyes, I still know that my head is up. I know where my arms are. That's our proprioceptive sense that tells you that. We have our vestibular sense, which comes from the fluid in our inner ear. That's our sense of movement. So when we move forward, the fluid in our ear shifts forward, and we know we're moving forward. And the last one is our interoceptive sense. That is how we take this body signals. So how do we know what's going on in our body? It's how I know when I'm full. It's how I know when I'm hungry, when I need to go to the bathroom. So a lot of the time we don't talk about these senses, and it's when you actually get to it and you start to kind of dig into them, you realize that they actually affect a lot of the things that are going on at the table.
Okay, you know, I just feel like I got to school there. That was, wow. Okay, how come we don't talk about these three as much as the other five?
You know, so the interoceptive sense is actually pretty new. It's the last one that we kind of discovered. And I think until you really kind of get into this area, unless you have a difficulty with this area, most people just don't even know about it to talk about it. I definitely didn't know about it until I was in OT school. And even when parents come in, and they come in because their child was maybe having a hard time touching something, and then we actually get down to it and they're like, oh wait, there's these other things going on. So I think the main reason people don't talk about it is just because they don't know.
Okay, so this is interesting for me because, funny enough, my wife and I just had a conversation about, we do some woodworking projects on the side as a little side hustle, and one of the things my wife cannot stand is sanding pieces of wood. She can't, it just freaks her out. Just the feeling and the sound and everything. She just can't do it. And I'm like, and for me, I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't understand. So is that in a kind of a roundabout way another example of maybe what we're talking about?
Yeah, it absolutely could be. So the sensory system shows up in really funny ways. So it could be that her sensory system is picking up those noises, the texture of the sand, and it's just not loving it. You know, another example I give everybody is we all have sensory quirks, every single one of us. So for me, like my sensory quirk is saran wrap. Literally the sound, the touch, the feel of saran wrap gives me actual goosebumps. But again, it doesn't affect me every day. Okay. It just affects me from using that.
If I hear ice on television, I get instant goosebumps. Like instantly. Like if you get on a commercial and somebody pours ice into a glass, I just break out in goosebumps, like it's like instant. I'm like, why am I doing this? So, okay, interesting.
Yeah. So we all have those little sensory quirks. But the amazing thing is that for most of us, you're still able to watch TV. I could use saran wrap if I wanted to. But children can't overcome it a lot of the time to eat. And so that's a lot of what we break down in the podcast is, okay, what is going on in my child's body? Why is it going on? And where can I go from here?
And that lack of understanding can lead to some pretty tough dinner time routines as parents who we don't understand. And we're just seeing the reaction and dealing with the reaction, but not the source, the root, right?
Mm-hmm. And we're also, you know, nobody gives you a guidebook on how to feed your child. They're born, you take them home from the hospital, and you're expected to know. You're expected to learn as you go. And then when there's a difficulty, you're like, wait, wait, wait. You're asking people for advice. You're looking on Facebook. You're looking on all these places. But a lot of the time, that advice doesn't actually mesh with your child. And so it's really hard to know where to go and what to do.
Okay. So you have people curious now, and they're going to be coming to your podcast, which is awesome. Tell me a little bit about some of the early episodes in your show. What are some of the things you've already started to cover on your podcast?
Yeah, so the first five episodes are really, really short, and they kind of set the groundwork for who I am, what my beliefs are, so that you guys kind of get to know me a little bit. So I like to call myself a magical mealtime specialist. I love all things Disney, but my main thing is I want the table to be fun. And for most parents with kids with eating challenges, the table is not fun. So we talk about pressure at the table. We talk about how to make it fun. And then that big question everybody has is how? How do I help my child explore new foods? And so that is my first kind of five episodes, is really setting you up for that. And right now, actually, we're kind of in a sensory month. So we're digging in. I have a sensory 101, a sensory 202, and a sensory 303. So we're talking about, what is sensory processing? What are those eight senses? How do we identify sensory processing challenges at the table? And something interesting a lot of parents don't know is there's also different categories of sensory processing difficulties. And so we break those down in these episodes. So if you have a child who has sensory processing difficulties, this series is going to help you get started on the right foot.
Okay. All right. So, okay, take us back in your background then too. Then how did all this start for you that this became your mission in life to help parents in this way? I'm sure there's other interests you have in addition to this that you could have pursued, but why is this so important to you?
Mm-hmm. So I'm an occupational therapist. My background is as an occupational therapist. So most people who know of OT, you think of the sensory system. You think of helping kids do the activities they want to do every day. And so I was blessed enough to be working both in the hospital system and in outpatient and really being able to help families in these really critical situations when their child wouldn't eat. And so as I'm sitting there, though, with families in the hospital, a lot of the time I realized these could have been addressed earlier. If parents had had the education they needed, we could have addressed these things at home. We could have addressed these things in a way that was more peaceful before they came to us and before these mealtime battles blew up. And so it was really my goal to kind of step away from the therapy world and help parents on a greater perspective earlier on, giving them those education earlier on. Now, on the other side, when I'm seeing kids in outpatient, the outpatient world is not as great as I would love it to be. When it comes to insurance, when it comes to getting reimbursed for therapy services, therapists have like 30 minutes with parents to bring the kid in, take off their shoes, do a therapy session, go home. And it wasn't enough time to educate parents. So my goal with my programs really is to provide that education for parents so they can feel confident, they can feel like they know where to go and that they have actionable steps they can work on.
Okay, so talk to me about that then. How are parents finding you now that you have the podcast? That's great. And guesting on podcasts obviously is a great way to do that. How have people been finding you in the past before you had your podcast?
So I do have a very active Instagram account. Parents love Instagram. They love the short reels, the 60-second videos where they can like really quickly grab some information. And so that's how most of my parents have found me so far, is through Instagram or through word of mouth from somebody else who has seen me in the past or worked with me in the past.
Okay. And your Instagram account is, what's the name?
Oh, yes. At Dr. Sam Goldman.
Beautiful. Okay. So when you're working with families, are you looking at working with families locally, or can you do this on a global scale?
So we can do it on a global scale, but I actually work mostly with parents in the United States. So I have programs that support parents in the US, and I have two different offers for parents. The first one is a sensory course, and I call it the Making Sense of Eating program. This one walks parents through all of those 8 steps, how they influence their child's eating. And the great thing about that is it's self-paced. So parents can do this wherever they want, whenever they want. The entire thing takes about 5 hours total, but it's broken down into really bite-sized videos that actually lets parents do it in a way that works for them. While you're, you know, feeding your younger child a bottle, while you're going on a walk, you can kind of listen to it and go. My other offering for parents is a membership. So it's a community of parents, and together we explore new foods every month. And I provide parents with really fun activities to kind of sit down, connect with their child, and learn about new food in a fun way without that fight that you're always having about taking a bite.
Okay, so I love a good success story. Can you share with us maybe a family that's come to you and how you've been able to help them and how things are different for that family now that they've worked with you?
Yeah, so I had a family come in. And again, when it comes to eating and when it comes to feeding, I do want to say, every single family is different. Some parents make really fast progress and some parents take a little bit longer. It depends on the age of your child, what you're doing outside of all of this. So I do want to start with that little disclaimer. But I had a family who came in and they were just feeling, kind of like we said, so stressed at the table. Every single meal was a fight about taking a bite. Their child was not eating foods that were, you know, what a parent would consider fueling their body. Eating a lot of snacks, you know, only the carbohydrates. And when they would ask them to take a bite, they would maybe gag over something and it was a negative experience and it would just make it worse, or they would throw up. And so about 3 months in, they reached out and they were like, hey, Sam, we're ready to graduate because we're eating chicken nuggets, we're eating pizza, we're eating hamburgers. And so a lot of the times parents think, you know, these foods are like, oh, wait, it's a hamburger, pizza. These actually have, for these parents who have real, real feeding challenges, these are foods that are finally fueling their body. And in 3 months, they took what they had learned, they explored those new foods, and they were doing it in a way that wasn't a fight. And that just, I mean, that makes all of this just so worth it, of what we do, is if a family can connect their child at the table without a fight and eat foods that are going to fuel their body, that's just wonderful.
So is there some kind of foods that parents seem to struggle with their children as far as their diet and having a healthy food intake for their children, that some parents just seem to have a really struggle getting their children to have this type of food? Is there some kind of commonalities that you're hearing as you talk to people at all?
There is. I would say the majority of children with feeding challenges, they love their snacks. Snacks are predictable. Snacks are easy to eat, both from an oral motor, so a muscle, and a sensory standpoint. So snacks, those are usually the favorite. Then next I would say is fruit. Kids really like sweet foods. We as humans are biologically predisposed to eat sweets. So many kids do a little bit better with fruits, but those vegetables and those proteins, those are hard to eat, both from that oral motor muscle perspective and from a sensory perspective. And I think from my experience, that's where many parents struggle.
So from your perspective then as well, for a parent, for advice for them, is there some kind of benefit to having a routine as far as mealtime, meal prep, and meal, and the type of food that you have? Should we have a routine to our every week, or is a variety kind of better? Do you have any thoughts either way on that?
Yeah, I think both. So I love boundaries. I love structure. I love your child knowing what to expect when they get to the table.
Okay.
A lot of those mealtime battles and that anxiety that kids have when they come to the table is because a lot of the times parents are switching it up. So you're like, okay, I'm going to try this. This didn't work. I'm going to try this. You know, I'm going to try telling them to take a bite. I'm going to not serve this thing so they eat this thing. The constant changes is extremely overwhelming for a child because they never know what they're going to get when they come to the table. So yes, I do recommend setting up a routine that helps children feel safe at the table. I think that's like the first step, is a child needs to come to the table and they need to feel safe doing so. So some of my favorite routines with that is I love to get movement in before the table so that their sensory system is organized. Okay. I love to make sure that there is a safe food on the table. A safe food is a food that your child will eat 80% of the time or more. So something they feel really confident about eating. And I also love to always have some kind of new food on the table or a non-preferred food. Now, this one isn't a huge serving. This is a small serving. But so they know, we are continually learning to explore new foods. And then for that variety portion you talked about, I love variety. One of the best ways to help kids become more open to new foods is having variety. And so a lot of the things parents don't think about sometimes is when I say variety, if your child only eats pasta, I'm going to introduce every single shape of pasta under the sun because that is variety.
Yeah.
If they only eat sandwiches, I'm going to cut it in 17 different ways because that is variety. And those little changes can actually help your child's brain get used to new foods because they're like, okay, this is different. I'm okay with different. Well, this food is different too. And it really just kind of helps create those brain pathways.
Because I know growing up that you sit at the table until everything's done on your plate, and that becomes almost a form of discipline, that you have to finish this so I can do what I want to do. And I don't think that really works today. I didn't know thing really worked back then, to be quite honest, but that whole thing about having to finish the food on your plate so that you can, I don't know. Any thoughts about that as a way of motivation, or is that demotivating?
Yeah, I would say we have definitely shifted away from that. I think almost all of us too can remember that feeling at the table. That was definitely a rule at our table. You had to finish your vegetables. Me, my sister, my friends, we all tried to sneak those vegetables off of the table. I remember it. I remember getting caught doing it. You know, we all did that. And so kind of like you said, I'm not sure it really worked back then either. Right. But because that is how we were raised, because that is what our parents tell us to do, because that is what other people are telling us to do, I think it's so hard to let go of that.
Right.
Now, from a sensory standpoint, the reason I don't love that is I want kids to connect to their body. So I want them to listen to the message that's coming from inside their body. And as much as we think we know how much our child needs to eat, they are the only ones who can feel when they're hungry and full. And I don't want to push them to ignore those messages in their body. I want them to listen to them so they can develop a really healthy relationship with food overall. Now, there are some kids who have medical concerns. There are some kids who cannot listen to the messages in their body. And if that's your child, I really, really recommend that you reach out to a dietitian, you reach out to your doctor to make sure they're getting the nutrients they need and they can actually calculate calories and things like that to help you there. But for the majority of the population, I want them to connect with their body and tell us when they are hungry and when they are full.
And for them to understand how to listen to their own body is very important.
Mm-hmm. Especially with, you know, in our day and age with everything going on with food, there has been a really big uptake to the eating disorder population and things of that nature. And so we want to be really cautious as we raise our children to work on that positive relationship with food overall.
So I'm imagining our conversation more around the dinner table at home so far as we've been talking. Can we kind of talk a little bit about being out in public as a family around the dinner table? Because that's another whole dynamic with an audience now, watching us parent and our children react in the way they do. Any tips for families out in public as far as working with your kids to create that safe place for them to enjoy their meal?
Number one thing I would say to parents is you do you. You know what works for your family, and do not let other people affect you, because nobody else knows what works for your family except for you. So I want to start with that, because I know there can be so much judgment out there. A lot of the times parents do, you know, if you're a parent who uses screen time, I don't want you to feel shame over that, because a lot of parents do. A lot of parents get judgment over that. But if that is something right now that helps your child eat, don't feel like you have to not do that in front of other people. And you know, actually it's really funny. When I was a new OT, they teach you in school, screen time is bad. We don't want so much screen time. It's, you know, it's hard for the brain. And the older you get and the more you work with people and the more you get to know and you're friends of kids and, you know, you're in the child world, most parents are just trying to get by, you know, right. You are just trying to get through that day. So use what you have that works for you. Now, when they're out in public, something that's really interesting is some kids actually do better in public because they're watching other people eat. They're seeing what's going on. Kids who are maybe a little bit on the lower sensory side, so they don't process information as much. They kind of seem more spacey or, you know, spaced out or tired. All of that information when you're out, all of like the sounds and the noise and the lights actually wakes them up and they eat better. It's interesting, but on the other side, there's those kids who get overwhelmed by everything going on and it's too much. So kind of get to know your child, because you can shift things depending on what they need. If they're a child who gets really overwhelmed by noise, can you sit outside instead of inside so you don't have the echoes? Can you order the food before you get to the table so you're not making them sit forever, so that by the time they get to the table, by the time the food gets there, they have no interest and they're gone.
Yeah.
If you do have to wait for the food, can you let them move around while you wait for the food? Can you get out, go for a walk, do something like that? And a lot of families too really struggle with what do I order at these restaurants? So I suggest always looking at a menu before you go and seeing if, again, there is one safe food you can order your child. Just one. If there's one thing there, and if you need to, it is okay to bring, you know, a snack on the side. It is okay to bring something in your purse for them while they learn to eat new foods. Sorry, that was a long answer to a short question.
It was a very good answer. What about just involving your kids in either the meal prep, maybe the grocery shopping to provide for the family, so they kind of get a concept and they of the whole process, but also a chance to add their choice and add their suggestions for mealtime? Do you think that would also make it a little bit easier to involve your children in, at around the dinner table?
Absolutely. I love involving kids in every single step. I really want to create an environment where kids love food and they find their own love of food. So their love of food is going to look really different than yours. So taking them to the grocery store, seeing what they're interested in, kids are going to actually usually be more interested in trying a new food if they've picked it out. So I kind of have a story that somebody posted about once on social media where they saw a mom in the grocery store with her child and the kid was like, what's that? Or can I have that? And it was a piece of broccoli. And they're like, no, you're not going to like that. And they kept going. Now from a feeding perspective, we were like, grab that opportunity. If they showed that interest, even if you don't think they're going to like it, they're going to be more likely to interact with it, to touch it, to play with it, and to start taking those initial steps. So yes, I love taking them grocery shopping. And I also love involving them in meal prep, because when you get them in the kitchen, they're feeling that food with their hands. They're smelling it. They're washing it. That is actually going through what we call the steps to eating. And so the steps to eating are developmental steps that we take as human beings when we get comfortable with the food. So the general is being able to be in the same room as it, being able to look at it, touch it, smell it, then kind of lick, taste it, and biting it. So if you've involved them in picking out the food at the grocery store and meal prep, you have already gone through being in the same place as it, touching it, interacting with it, and smelling it. Now when you get to the table, it's not as unfamiliar, and they're kind of a little more set up for success.
Yeah, like I can imagine taking your children to pick strawberries and letting them pick a strawberry. This is how they're grown. And now they understand the whole process. And now we can take the strawberries home and make whatever from that, right? Mm-hmm. So they're part of it, and they get to understand how the food even got to them. Because that's another whole lesson, I think, that would open the door to maybe try something new.
100%. It's so funny. I actually did an entire episode on You Pick Farms. And yep. So we did a whole episode on You Pick Farms in the Food Explorer podcast. But even things like reading books, playing with those Melissa and Doug wooden toys, any of those kind of things that you do away from the table influences what happens at the table. So my niece, she loves Pete the Cat. You know, the Pete the Cat, I think it's the pizza party book. And because Pete the Cat eats pickles on his pizza, she is dying to try a pickle. She's never heard of a pickle before. She's never seen a pickle before. But because Pete the Cat likes pickles on his pizza, she wants to too. And this is actually supported by research. When kids see their favorite characters eat a food, they are more likely to try that food and to like it, which is really interesting.
Hmm. Interesting. Pickles on a pizza. Oh, you got me wondering. I might like it. I'm not sure. I have no idea. I do know what a pickle is, but I've never had it on a pizza. So now you're making me think. So I like that. I like podcasts that make me think. So thank you for doing that. So let's talk directly to the parents. Okay, it's dinner time coming up tonight. We've tried and failed numerous ways on our own without any outside help. We're stuck. Supper is a chore. I don't look forward to it as a parent. It always leads to crying, either by me as a parent or my children. I just want to have a happy, harmonious dinner time with my family around the table. Let's talk to that parent who's in the kitchen today, prepping for tonight. Could be a single dad, single mom, whatever. And they're busy getting ready for tonight's dinner, dreading what might happen at the dinner table. What would you like to say to them to encourage them today that things can be better around the dinner table?
Mm-hmm. Number one thing I want to tell you is first step is to take a deep breath and focus on exhaling that breath. I work on that with the kids too, but you cannot effectively help your child if you are in fight or flight. So first thing, mom, dad, I need you to take that breath, breathe out. You know, it can change. So we as humans, we are continually learning, we're continually evolving, our brains are changing. So just because it is hard today does not mean it's going to stay this way forever and that it has to stay this way forever. What we do can help our child take a new step, try it a new way, and go a different path. So it doesn't have to stay this battle at the table forever. So once you realize that, what I want you guys to focus on at the table is having fun. And it's so hard to do that. I know I say that and you're probably like, yeah, okay. But kids learn through play. Kids learn through fun. And this is their entire purpose in a child's life is to play. They learn through play. We teach them how to make their letters through play. We teach them how to put on their clothes through games. We read books. And so if there was one thing that I was going to tell a parent to go focus on today is when you're introducing a new food. So I don't want you to change everything you're doing because, again, I don't want you to lose all those nutrients you're getting if you're focused, you know, if that's what they're relying on right now. But if you're going to try and introduce a new food, try to introduce it in a fun way. Use a new food pick. Play a game with it. Stack it. You know, try driving it as a car across the table. Just focus on what one easy, really simple thing you can do is. It could literally be rolling a blueberry back and forth between you two. But how can you do it in a way that you are connecting with your child, that you can get a smile out of your child, that you can get them to have a positive memory with that food? And at dinner, instead of only focusing on how much they're eating, focus on connecting with them because that is so powerful. That's going to make them want to come to the table more. It's going to make you want to come to the table more. And it's just going to make everything way more enjoyable if you focus on connecting instead of taking a bite. Now, again, this is different if your child is not getting enough nutrition. Then right. You need to talk to your doctor or dietitian.
Yes. I love it. Thank you for clarifying. That's amazing. See, and that's what I want from this episode is I really want to encourage families who are struggling. And when we connected, I'm like, oh, having you on is going to be great because I can already see people like, oh, I know what I'm doing for dinner tomorrow because now I have some help. And that's exciting. So let's share again with everyone how they connect with you. Again, more about the podcast. All of the great details so people can make that connection because you have some great answers for parents and I'd love to make that connection with you. So again, where do we go? Tell us what we do.
Yes. So again, my podcast is the Food Explorers Podcast. It is all about helping your kids become confident and happy eaters and doing things the fun way. If you have a child who has sensory challenges, I do actually have a new freebie that launched. It's self-regulation strategies. So this helps your child when they are overstimulated or understimulated. How do we get them back to that calm, just right place? So for that, you can go to drsamgoldman.com/self-regulation strategies. But if you go to my Instagram at drsamgoldman, all of this is going to be at the link in my bio. So that makes it real easy.
Dr. Sam, thank you so much for making time for us. I feel like I got to go make dinner now. So thank you. You've opened my eyes and my ears to three more senses that I was completely unaware of. And now I'm happy about that. So thank you for your wisdom, your knowledge, and thank you for helping families. I think this is going to be a great way to make this generation and the next generation and so forth love gathering around that dinner table again. And enjoying that time with family. Thank you for doing what you do. It's amazing.
Oh, thank you for having me, and thank you for sharing the message.
Awesome. Everyone, please go check out all the notes in the show notes. And if you're listening to this on a podcast app right now, please head over to Dr. Sam's podcast. We're done here. You can click a button right now and go right there and start at episode 1 and go all the way through. You're going to learn so much. that you can use for your family today. Thank you again, Dr. Sam. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening to Dad Space today. Go check us out on all of our social media, YouTube, all that great stuff. You can find us as Dad Space Podcast. Real simple. Dad Space Podcast, whether you're on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, even YouTube. Email us, dadspacepodcast@gmail.com. We're always looking for great guests to come on the podcast. If you have any feedback for us, let us know here at Dad Space. Looking forward to connecting with you on the next episode, right here of Dad Space. Follow us on your podcast app for more. Cheers. To you, Dad. Thank you.